Does everybody know what time it is?
Home and podcast time.
That's right, Binford Tools is proud to present a home improvement podcast. My name is Adam. You all know my co-host, Jordan. Jordan, good morning.
Good morning, Adam. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm great. I'm sure everyone enjoys that we ask each other how we're doing every time.
The formality of the start of this very serious home improvement podcast.
It's almost like we don't talk to each other beforehand.
I bid you good morrow. Yeah, it is. It's as if, yeah, it's true. It's as if we don't spend 30 minutes before just kind of,
shooting the crap.
Shooting the S, as it were.
That's what we do.
But Jordan, you know, we haven't talked in a while, and it is good to be back here today talking about home improvement, because this is Home and Podcast, a home improvement podcast, and each week we talk about various episodes of home improvement. Not various episodes, the next episode.
We just pick a random three shotgun approach.
I was thinking how I like the podcast The Twilight Pwn, and I probably mentioned them.
We all do, and yeah. They probably listen to us, right?
Definitely love us. Yeah, I think they love Home Improvement. And I was thinking, like, how for them, you know, Twilight Zone's an anthology show, so they can just kind of, like, pick and choose any episode they want for whenever they want. And I was kind of thinking how that would be pretty nice. Get a lot of variety. And how
there's a few that we might never get to.
Yeah, I mean, the season 9 starts with an episode where they go whitewater rafting in Wisconsin. I'm looking forward to that one.
Ooh, I seem to remember
that
one.
It's called Whitewater.
You know, Andrea asked me how many episodes we had to go the other day, and I said, we're almost halfway through.
About 1,000.
She said, congratulations. I said, I don't know if this is an accomplishment or not.
Yeah, it's hard to say. You know, if you tally up the hours spent on this show, it is a depressing number. It equals weeks and weeks of time. But
we're learning skills.
We're all just, you know, hamsters in a wheel, Jordan. Going around.
What else is going around? Well, Jordan, any recycled shows or anything like that?
Oh, man, I'm glad you asked. Well, actually, I'm not glad you asked, because this is kind of not that exciting news for us. But this is an article per Variety, and there's a lot of articles that have been published more recently, but this seemed to be the most legitimate. And it's titled, Last Man Standing Revival, Eyed at Fox. So it looks like... you know, people are talking either Home Improvement or Last Man Standing might get a revival with the success of Roseanne, and it appears it's going to be Last Man Standing. I'm just going to read a quick section here.
Please.
Potential revival, Last Man Standing is in early discussions at Fox. Variety has learned from sources. Tim Allen and producers 20th Century Fox are on board for what would be the show's 7th season. ABC canceled the multi-cam sitcom last year after 6 seasons, with fans speculating the cancellation had more to do with Allen's conservative politics than anything else. ABC denied this, however, factors were weighed like studio ownership, future creative direction, ratings, and viewer engagement. Moving on, airing on Friday nights, the show is a solid performer, averaging a 1.2 rating in adults 18 to 49 and 6.4 million viewers per episode in live plus same day. If the show was able to match those numbers, which would be likely given the fan interest in its return, it would rank among Fox's highest rated shows. So, as your brother used to say, Jordan, proof's in the pudding.
That's absolutely true. And if any, I mean, the comment section on this Variety article, you know, if it's any indication of the people who, you know, do they want Last Man Standing back? Do they not? they love this idea, except for Lawrence.
Oh, really?
Lawrence says, why would they bring back such a cornball tacky flop? Desperate? Odd. So, I mean, Lawrence doesn't agree.
What are the metrics for flopping? I think the numbers kind of back it up. Yeah, I mean... I'm bummed out because, we wanted a Home Improvement reboot because it would just be good for us. But this makes a lot more sense considering the show just ended. Like, the level of difficulty is infinitely less than bringing back Home Improvement. Yeah. So, yeah, it makes sense, but it's a little bit disappointing.
It also kind of leaves the opportunity open for you to continue writing your series.
And it's an opportunity that I take very seriously and with great pleasure.
Yeah, but yeah, I mean, I would agree. It does make more sense, probably a little bit easier to get the cast and crew together.
Right.
I guess they just have to figure out, you know, Fox and ABC have to figure something out. I assume they have the rights, and we'll see where that goes. But it seems to be gaining momentum. You know, for a while, it seemed like Home Improvement was gaining momentum, and now it is not.
Yeah, well, you know, onward we march, you know, regardless of any kind of momentum. I was thinking, do you remember when Last Man Standing was going to go to CMT briefly?
This is a
win for them. I mean, CMT versus Fox. I think they came out on top here.
But. Hallmark reruns, CMT full time, and back to one of the main four broadcast networks now. So
yeah. Well, we will monitor this closely, and if anything changes, we'll let you know.
We'll monitor it closely, and then we'll give you information that's about a week or two.
I was
going to
say, we'll
let
you know 5 or 6 days later. After you already knew, we'll remind you again about a week later.
That's good for us. What else is going on, Adam? Any interesting trips lately? Okay, that's fine.
No.
I just like to ask every once in a while because you do interesting things.
Yeah,
you're like that Dos Equis guy.
Yeah, definitely.
Old one, not the new one.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Now they're doing a thing where they don't even talk about like the interesting man. They're just talking about the bottle and stuff.
Yeah, and as a Dos Equis drinker, that probably bothers you quite a bit.
It really grinds my gears.
As a lover of alcohol. Yeah, Jordan, I went down to the District of Columbia to visit my sister and her young sons, my nephews, and yeah, it was a nice trip.
Sounds like she pulled some strings.
Yeah, well, I know what obviously I know what you're getting at here, and we can talk about this briefly. I was given or provided with the opportunity to go bowling in the White House basement.
Oh man,
yeah.
What an opportunity that was.
Before you ask any follow-ups, our commander and, DT was not there.
He was not there.
A lot of photos of him, and it was a cool experience. There's about a dozen or so people that went down there, and
reports have it that, I follow a few things on Reddit, and there was a subreddit about bowling in the White House, and they said that you did the best out of all the people there.
Jordan, it's funny that you bring that up, because I did tell you that before the show, so I'm glad that this is making it on air. But yeah, there was two lanes. One of them was broken, and I guess it's been broken for like 5 years, and nobody cares to fix
it. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, it's like, whatever, but we got bigger fish to fry.
The president's playing golf now.
Yeah, he's at Mar-a-Lago. There was 11 people on one lane, and I did come out as the victor. Don't ask me what my score was, because it would maybe lessen the accomplishment, but I was victorious.
Number one of 11. Yeah. Did you do a lot of finger guns?
No, I did like a lot of leg kicks, though. Like, I would kind of like kick my leg up after I got a strike or a spare. So, yeah, it was
You
fun.
Are rather flexible, if I recall.
Sometimes. It can be. Yeah, sometimes. But, yeah.
One of our better opening banters in a while.
I would say so. Yeah, I would say, if you ever get the opportunity to do it, I would say take the opportunity.
Yeah, I don't know why you wouldn't.
Yeah, to go bowling.
I've been trying to go bowling down here for months, and I just can't get it to work.
Oh, man, I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah, it's too bad. Meanwhile, you're bowling in places like...
Well, you're a terrible bowler, though.
Yeah, but I like it.
Okay, well, that's all that matters. If you have fun, that's what counts.
Yeah, I'm never going to be good at it. It's like golf. I'm never going to be good at it, but I enjoy it.
Jordan, speaking of things that aren't always good, but we sometimes enjoy, what episode are we covering this week?
Episode 88 this week is going to be, Brother, Can You Spare a Hot Rod? Mm-hmm. This one written by John Vandergriff, a Vandergriff joint. Vandergriff rules. He last did The Eyes Don't Have It, a great episode where Mark was blind. And we haven't seen those glasses since, have we?
Yeah, what the heck?
Aired January 10th, 1995. There's some plot keywords. I don't really care about them. Let's skip them. Let's get into our alternative titles, because that's what the people want.
Yeah, definitely. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but this is the first episode titled Around a Hot Rod, correct?
Not quite. I think it might be the 40th.
It's hard with the hot rod because like we've done everything there is to do with that.
Believe it or not, I have nothing really that rhymes with hot rod or anything like that. But yeah, it is tough. It is bad. You said it was one of your worst weeks for alternative titles.
It's pretty bad, yeah.
Let's see if the proof's in the pudding. Let's see how many times we can say that this episode.
I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
All right, I've got 3.
Oh,
so
okay. All right.
Start it out.
Okay. I'll start with the most boring one. Spoiler alert. Jay Leno's garage.
That is a spoiler alert. I almost brought him up right away because I know how much you love Leno.
Well, did you see the trivia?
I did, yeah.
Yeah. And, I mean, it's a TV show as well.
I was going to say he did have a show.
Yeah, it's still running a successful show, too.
Is it really?
Relatively. I think people that like it, like it.
Is it running or is it not
isn't
running?
That good analysis. People that like it, like it.
I wasn't... I mean, success is all relative. I was just wondering if it was still running.
It's still running, much like the automobiles in the show.
No, wonderful.
Yeah.
My first one, I'm 98% certain we've already done this.
I'll let you know.
So, the Tim Man.
Yeah, for sure. Because there's that episode where... Well, we don't need to get into it, but you've done it before.
Too bad. I've got two.
Okay. All right. Next one. Shop till you feel embarrassed.
Jeez. How about out with the new and in with the old?
That's good. Deals for wheels. Yeah, not bad.
That's all right. Yeah. How about seller's remorse?
That's good. All right, two more. This one is a reference to a lot of presidential talk today, so you'll have to pardon me. Tim : The Art of the Deal.
Ooh,
like the
the
old book there.
Yep. And what's your last one?
Last one's the best one. And I want to apologize to any Italian listeners we have out there because I'm going to throw on a thick accent. Papa mia, that's a spicy hot rod.
Oh my gosh. That's incredible.
Yeah, that's it.
I mean, you know, you kind of, there was an obligatory Papa Mia in there because they talk about it so much.
Yeah.
It should be more of the title than the hot rod.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I'm glad you did that.
Yeah. Yep. That's that.
That's that. The title of the episode is from the Depression era song "Brother, Can You Spare a Dime?" Also, later a documentary. So
not familiar.
Me neither. Plot synopsis, though. We're familiar with this because we're familiar with Scigari 66, and Scigari says everyone is stunned when Tim impulsively sells his hot rod to a pizza magnate.
Well, a little too stunned, in my opinion.
Especially Brad, who helped him build it. So Tim and Brad try and talk to the millionaire into selling it back. Meanwhile, Randy is embarrassed that Jill still goes along with him when shopping for clothes.
It's a really strong B plot in this episode. One of the better ones.
The A plot's not so bad either.
Yeah.
All right, so...
You want to open him? Yeah, me too.
You know, I'd like to open.
Go ahead, open. You open, but I'll close.
All right. So, always be closing. Open on tool time. We're talking about block gutters. We're talking about ice dams. We're talking about stuff leaking into your house. And
you know what would have been a good alternative title? Sorry to interrupt. Gutter done.
Oh, man.
Yeah, missed the opportunity.
Where'd that come? Well, at least you got it in there.
Yeah. Sorry, carry on. Had to get that out there.
I had to do it. You know how to stop leaking into your house? Well, you put some heating coils on your roof, on your shingles, and it works every shingle time. They do a lot of shingle jokes here.
Yeah, it was not bad.
Yeah, they test this little like heat coil system on top of the roof. There's some Al's mom jokes. We skip over them because we've heard them before.
Mm-hmm.
They test it, and guess what? Tim's amped up the power, and the roof starts smoking because it's burning through the shingles.
So. It's a very inessential opening.
Inessential.
It doesn't function or serve the episode at all later on. So, did you see the logo?
No, I didn't.
Me neither. Do you think he was gone?
No, because I watched the next one and he's back, so...
He had to be there. We just didn't notice. Okay.
He's on vacation, much like you. Perhaps bowling in the White House.
He's on island time. All right, next scene. Randy and JTT, a.k.a... Wait. Nope, never mind.
His alter ego.
Jill and Randy are talking about shopping. Randy needs to get some new clothes, and he's not excited because... Every time he goes shopping with his mom, she embarrasses him. That's pretty much that. Tim walks in and he references, they're talking about how Jill, how old's Randy supposed to be? He's like 12, right?
12, 13.
Yeah, he's
like
too old to have this going on. She like will shake his pants to see if they fit right. And then Tim.
Yeah, jiggle.
Jiggle.
The old jiggle.
And then there's a weird kind of sex joke about Jill jiggling Tim's pants later on. And he's
into that.
He's very, very into that. Around the same time, Tim receives, I guess, a letter that says that his hot rod has been accepted into
An expo,
a show at Kobo, and That's really all I got out of this scene. Am I missing anything?
I'm kind of thinking that we need to come up with a name for Mark and Randy together, because they're, you know, they start the scene watching TV, and they seem to be together a lot more now that Brad's a little bit older.
Yeah, I guess they are sharing a room now, or...
Yeah.
Or Mark has his own room, right? Or
no. Brad now has his own room. Mark did have his own room.
Gotcha. So, yeah. And I guess they are watching, like, National Geographic.
They're watching information about praying mantis and how they reproduce and what their mating rituals are like.
Yeah.
It's disturbing.
It's weird. It's a weird joke that comes back later on. I don't know.
Almost as disturbing as the mating rituals of Tim and Jill.
You mean the pant jiggling?
Yeah, exactly.
All
right,
next scene.
Yeah, we move on, and we're back on tool time, because we can't get enough. And the guys are surrounded by engines. They're going to talk about hot rods, the special guest they bring out.
Did you hear what they said? They're like, yesterday we talked about cold, now we're going to talk about hot rods, that is. It's like, okay, sure.
That sounds like us a little bit.
Sure, yep.
That's where we get our inspiration. So the special guest is a sponsor of that Cobalt Hall event, and a collector, Doug O'Brien.
Yeah, I like this guy.
You do like this guy.
Yeah, I'll do a bio.
What do you like about him?
I just always like him when he pops up and things. Doug O'Brien, played by Bruce McGill, he has 155 credits to his name. Films such as Animal House, he plays Daniel Simpson Day, Time Cop, Lincoln, and Vantage Point. I think of this guy, I think he's he plays like a bad guy in, I believe it's Black Sheep. He plays Neuschwander, I think. And I love Black Sheep, and I've watched it probably 50 times, I feel like, growing up. Let me find it here.
I need to watch that again. It's been a long time.
Black Sheep. Yeah, Neuschwander and Black Sheep. That's kind of what I think of when I think of this guy.
It's probably his seminal moment.
I would say probably. He's also, and I mean, he's in a lot of stuff. 61, the HBO movie, he plays the Yankees manager. That's a familiar one. Shallow Hal. Runaway Jury, Matchstick Men, Collateral, Elizabethtown. This guy be working, and I always enjoy having him pop up, and he's pretty good in this as well.
He is. He's he does a good job. So they're talking a little bit about the Cobalt Hall event. Talk about cars that are going to be there from the U.S., Canada, Italy, as far as New Zealand. So quite a big event. And then we also learn, and we're going to hear a lot about this, that Bob, is his name Bob?
Doug.
Why did I write Bob?
Doug O'Brien? I don't know.
Oh, boy. Doug owns Papa Pia Meats. Papa Mia Meats.
I think you got a little excited about the voice and you forgot what to
write. Well, I'm just all confused because why did I write Bob here? But yeah, Papa Mia Pizza. Mm-hmm. And everyone loves Papa Mia Pizza.
Apparently it's a Detroit institution.
Yeah, it's got some
chains.
Do you think
it's like a Little Caesars surrogate? Is that what they're doing?
Because
Little Caesars, I mean, you know, IRL kind of runs Detroit.
Yeah, I guess maybe. Little Caesars Arena.
Yeah.
But apparently, you know, Al loves Papa Mia's pizza. The crowd loves it. Everyone loves it. Doug loves more than pizza, it seems like, cars.
Yeah.
So he's a collector. He's got lots of different cars. Tim has a surprise for... I keep writing Bob. Why didn't I write Bob? Tim has a surprise for Doug. So they kind of go outside. On the way, Tim kind of talks to a couple of the crew here. Did you catch that? It's kind of weird. He's like, nice to see you. And he says, is that person out of prison? I don't know if this is like ad-lib
moments. I think he's improv-ing.
Okay. And it's Tim's 33 hot rod. And, you know, he loves it. He sees it. Did you see Al Zagala still on the wall behind them?
I didn't notice that, no.
Yeah, great continuity.
Sometimes
there.
They stick to continuity. Most of the time not. But
no, they did here. So they start chatting cars. Al keeps chatting pizza, and it's kind of this running joke. But this guy admires Tim's ambition, his work, the craftsmanship that he's done here. And so that maybe this is how they should have started the show.
Yeah. Sorry, there's a hot rod going by outside right now.
You're at that Cobalt Hall event, aren't you?
That's right. Right between the bathroom and the hot dog stand or whatever they say. Yeah, that's basically it. It's he's very taken with the car. And then the next scene, this has got to be our earliest fence segment ever.
It was jarring.
It was, I mean, we are one, two, this is the fourth scene in the episode, and I mean, I don't even think we're 10 minutes in yet, we're going to the fence. It was, you know, it felt a little shoehorned, but let's just, you know, we'll let you decide if it's a good fence segment or not. And Jordan, we're going to go ahead and play a clip here.
Evening, Wilson.
Hi-de-ho, neighbor.
What are you up to?
I'm using paraffin to make candles in the snow.
Huh. Speaking of a paraffin, my car was supposed to be sitting next to a beautiful 59 Cadillac at the car show, but that's changed a little.
So what happened? Did you lose your spot between the beer and the bathroom?
I met this guy named Papa Mia.
Whoa, Papa Mia, the pizza magnate? Boy, my favorite is his large cilantro with feta cheese.
That's great.
I like it with extra snails.
They put snails on a pizza?
No, Tim. I put those snails on myself.
Anyway, Papa Mia is his car collector. He offered me a chunk of change for my hot rod, so I sold it.
Tim, you sold the hot rod? I'm taken aback.
Well, I can't take it aback now. I already gave it to him.
No. I'm surprised. You put a lot of work into that hot rod.
Well, yeah, I did. But the work was kind of what I liked, you know? Oh, I was thinking about today, all the fun I had with it. Mm. That picture's here. Look at this.
Right.
So I first had the chassis.
Oh, that is a very photogenic chassis.
Isn't it? And look, they put a small block in there.
Uh-huh.
Rebuilt everything.
Wow.
Painted it. That's out of the paint shop. And that's where I bronzed his first set of brake shoes.
You know, it's so funny, Tim. Most guys would have pictures of their family in their wallet.
Yeah, that's funny, isn't it? Yeah. They're back here.
Oh, there they are. Sitting in the hot rod.
So again, this is pretty jarring because it's so early on in the episode. Wilson's he's using paraffin to make candles in the snow. And Tim just kind of comes out with this news. He's sold the hot rod to Doug O'Brien. And, you know, Wilson is shocked, and everyone is fairly shocked throughout the episode. But Tim kind of explains that, you know, it was a great offer. And what Tim likes more than the finished product is just the work. He likes putting the work in and kind of the process. And it's kind of a funny gag here to end the scene, but he pulls out his wallet and starts showing Wilson photos. You know, like most people would have pictures of their family. He has pictures of his car. And then he says, well, there's one of your kids. And, you know, they're in the hot rod. So there's some funny jokes in this episode. And, yeah, I like this scene, even though it is a little jarring because it comes early. But, yeah, Wilson is he's really taken aback by this news.
Yeah. Yeah, Tim's more about the journey than the destination. And we've always known that. So this
well, he's
be...
like I believe Miley Cyrus said, you know, there's always going to be another mountain. I'm always going to want to make it move. There's always going to be an uphill battle. Somebody's going to have to something. It ain't about how fast I get there. It's about what's waiting on the other side. It's the climb.
It's the climb.
Yeah, it's the climb. So,
yeah, it's the climb.
And that's okay. And that is she kind of took that ideology from this episode.
Yeah, I think she's quoted that several times.
She loves Home Improvement. It's weird that she doesn't talk about it more because, you know, growing up, I don't know where I'm going with this. Carry on.
Jeez.
A little rusty.
So Jill and the boys are home, and Randy is trying to get out of shopping by going to the hot rod event. We know that Randy doesn't like cars, so it doesn't really work on Jill here. She says, nah, we're going shopping.
Did you notice Jill's car?
It's stylish.
Super nice. Like, it's almost perhaps nicer than the hot rod.
Yeah, and they're kind of keeping this going. I mean, if you remember the Nomad, it was like a really nice kind of classic vehicle. So, Tim...
Well, I mean, hey, you know what? The Taylors, they're upper-class family. Satellite dish, nice cars, laundry machine, you know.
You know, they buy their groceries in reusable bags instead of the plastic bags
wow.
at the store.
Yeah.
I did notice in this episode, I guess for the first time, that they do that, and then there's, like, recycling containers in the garage.
Progressive.
Yeah, a little bit for
like when we saw,
Man of the House.
Yeah, Man of the House, and this would have been about the same year. So somebody, maybe Tim is, like, big into recycling, although that would really surprise me.
No, I think it's Randy.
Yeah, for sure.
He's the only thing tying both of those things together.
You're right,
so.
You're right, yeah.
So Tim comes in and he spreads the news. Brad and Jill thought he would never sell it, but yeah, he did here. Everyone is pretty peed off.
Yeah, they're like, it's like it's a betrayal.
Brad is particularly furious.
One thing I liked about this that they did is it kind of seemed for a second like they were going to... So like they're talking about how like, he says something about O'Brien made me an offer, and Brad's like, did you take it? And Jill's like, no, he wouldn't take it. He'd never sell that car. And they're all like, no, he'd never sell that car. And I thought they were setting up that he was going to keep it from them, and it was going to be that kind of thing, like he was going to keep them in the dark, and they was going to have to try to get it back. But he kind of quickly comes out with it, and I think that made for a better episode. But everyone is, yeah, it's sort of, I mean, did this strike you as being kind of absurd, just how upset everyone is?
Yeah, I was caught a little off guard about how everyone was so mad. I guess I get the point. You know, if you know, he promised certain things mm-hmm. to Brad, and Brad had certain things in his mind. But
yeah,
you know,
it's his car. He put the time in, the money. So like,
Jill doesn't really like the hot rod.
Yeah.
So I don't know. It seems a little strange that she's so mad.
It was kind of the whole thing. It seemed kind of sitcom-y, like conflict for the sake of you know, having something to talk about. Because like, I don't know. I mean, I know Brad likes the hot rod, but like,
he likes the saxophone more.
It was like Tim had run over like Brad's dog or something. You know, it was like, and then the scene ends with like, Nick, if you ever want to fix up a car again, ask somebody else to help you. And it's like, well, yeah, I mean, he doesn't really need your help. You know, he can do it on his own. Probably slow him down if anything, but sure.
I think he knows that his dad enjoys that time with his son. Okay.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. Just like
I like that you're taking the like line that Tim needs help, and that's why he's asking Brad.
Yeah.
Like, he can't. Brad's like this.
No,
you know.
That's Brad's perspective. Like Brad is like, next time you need help, like Brad is like saying like, don't ask me for help. Next time you need, it's like he doesn't. Yeah. Doesn't need it. It's just a bonding thing. I don't know. I thought it was dumb that they were so upset. It just didn't strike me.
I agree. It was a bit overplayed.
It struck me as being false. But.
A little bit false. But I guess they're going to treat it as true throughout the episode. So we move on to the next scene, and Tim's in his office, I think, according to that floor plan.
This is a nothing scene.
It is very strange.
It's so short.
So they zoom out, and there's like, they zoom out of a picture of Tim, Brad, and the hot rod. So they're really playing up this angle.
I didn't even notice that.
Oh, yeah, that's where they start. And then Tim picks up the phone, and he's thought about it, and he wants to call the owner of Papa Mia Pizza. He wants to call
Bob. You're talking about Bob?
Yeah, Bob. So Tim picks up the phone, and, you know, this is a 90s show, so there's the operator. And we just kind of get this joke that they continue to carry on about how much everyone loves Papa Mia Pizza, because he mentions that he wants to get a hold of the owner.
Corporate offices, yeah.
Yeah, the operator just can't stop talking about their favorite pizza and how awesome the food is. And
I mean, it's kind of funny, but I did like it how it ends. And he's like, "No, I have not tried that salad with that combination." I just thought it was funny. And then he says something.
Scene.
He says, "I'm gonna let my fingers do the walking." That's you don't hear that anymore.
No, maybe we should. You want to bring that back?
What would the context be? I mean,
bowling, like, baby.
I'm gonna let my fingers do. Yeah, sure. Yeah. I don't know. I thought it was kind of fun. It's a really bizarre scene. If you're cutting anything from this episode, you're cutting this scene because you don't need it at all. But I did kind of like it.
Well, they obviously needed some. Jay Leno didn't do enough heavy lifting later on, so they needed to keep some stuff in.
Well,
there.
We'll talk about that because it has a very slapdash feel to it. That scene. Let's just. I have a feeling
well,
that.
Wait.
Jay
let's
Leno,
wait. Let's wait.
All right. Okay. All right. Fine. Well,
let's go to the mall.
You know, let's get through this mall stuff. This is not consequential.
This mall stuff is the most important stuff that happens in this episode.
All right, then you better take it.
So we're at the mall with Jill and Randy. Randy has about 15 pairs of pants to try on, and shirts are next. So we get the idea that this is going to be quite the slog for Randy. Randy goes to try on some of these pants, and Jill does the grossest thing, and perhaps, I mean, it's good that he had his pants on, but she, like, looks underneath the door of the changing room, and she's like, oh, that's not him, and then she sees what she thinks are Randy's legs. I almost thought that this was going to be, she opens the door and it's not Randy, but no, it's Randy.
Yeah, and then he covers himself up, and she said, it's not like I haven't seen it before.
Oh,
kinda,
come
it's
on.
It's just, like, kind of gross. Yeah, it's
yeah.
weird.
She should know better.
She's overstepping, especially being a teenager. Like, you know, it might not be a big deal to her, but it's a big deal to him.
She should know better.
Yeah.
I mean, didn't her and Brad go through this, maybe, I would think?
You would think so.
You know what would make this more embarrassing, though? If Beth showed up and some other girls from school. So Beth's there. They chat.
Are they still together? That was my question. We haven't seen Beth in like a year. Are they still a couple? Or like, what's
the
situation?
Well, if they're not and Randy's trying to win her back with this conversation about
protoplasm. I guess he's screwed either way. You know?
He certainly is. He tries to have this conversation about protoplasm and yada yada yada.
A failed test or something.
Yeah, he's really struggling. He's nervous. And then a worker comes up with something even more embarrassing. Apparently Jill asked for some underwear and she brought over some, I don't know.
They're tiny whiteys, but they have like little cartoon designs on
them. Yeah, cartoon designs. Her voice, I don't know, her voice kind of makes it worse too. She's like,
you know what I call this? An epic fail.
I call it a hard pass.
Yeah, it's but basically it's peak embarrassment. You know, I mean, how are you ever going to rebound from that?
You can't.
No, and that's where the scene ends. It is delightful.
All right, want to go back home?
I want to go back home to the garage. We get a lot of garage play in this episode. Garage play sounds kind of raunchy. Jill and Randy arrive home. Randy's mad. Next scene. I mean, that's basically it.
Yeah,
we transition inside, and Tim is talking to Jill, and he mentions that Papa Mia won't sell his hot rod back. And Jill says, like, what are you going to do? And he says, you know, I want to go talk to him man to man, maybe bring you and Brad and try to get some sympathy.
Man to man, except for also with woman and boy.
Yeah, and try to get some sympathy out of the whole thing. So
so that's what he does. Next scene. Here we go. This is
wow.
what you've been waiting
this
for.
This is huge. And I just want to set this up by telling you all that Jay Leno is in this scene.
And we did not expect it.
Yeah.
Because you texted me and you just texted me all caps, Leno.
Did you know he was in this?
No, not until I read the synopsis and stuff.
Yeah, it's pretty good. Pretty dope.
Is it?
I mean, well, we'll talk about it. Okay, so you want to take it or you want me to?
Gosh, I think you should. It's only right.
Yeah, you're right. All right, so they are at Papa Mia's garage. And Papa Mia is very wealthy.
Oh, my.
Evidently. It's a warehouse just full of fancy, nice automobiles.
There's motorcycles there, too.
I did not notice that. Well, Randy and Brad and... No, I'm having trouble with names. We both are having trouble with names today. Tim, Jill, and Brad are kind of walking around. Brad wants to touch everything. Tim says, don't. And they're just kind of working their way through. It's almost like a museum. And then all of a sudden, we get this salt and pepper hair pops up. Guy wearing a workman suit goes by the name of Jay Leno.
Oh.
And I tell you what, man, I about fell off the couch.
Wowzers.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wish you would have done your live stream for this. And
I know. That
caught
would have been
that
sweet.
Live.
I would have never made it to the... I mean, I always do those at the start of the episode, so I probably wouldn't have made it here, but that would have been sweet. Yeah, well, I'll just say it. In the trivia, it's Jay Leno's garage that they used to film this. Like, it's his actual garage with his cars, so one can assume that there was, you know, they were filming there, and, they thought it would be fun to just kind of have him in the episode. You know, it's kind of strange. The whole scene is sort of awkward. I don't know if you got that feel, but, like, the facial expressions people are making, and there's kind of almost, like, a lag, but the scene has a real, I don't know, it's kind of almost surreal feeling. Did you kind of notice that things seemed a little bit off with this scene, or did you not notice?
It seemed like they shot it in, like, one long take or
yeah,
something.
Yeah, I agree.
Instead of a lot of the cutting and stuff that we see other times. And just to kind of, like, mm-hmm. further, you know, the point that how... you know, rich Papa Mia is here. Not only does he have, like, all these cars, he has two workers in this garage who, I guess it's their job to just clean the cars.
Yeah, I did forget to mention that. Yeah, Leno is one of these workers, and the other one is played by Larry Flash Jenkins, and that's his
Ooh.
Real name. Larry Flash Jenkins, 48 credits, best known for Ferris Bueller's Day Off, Fletch, which is something I like, The Gospel Truth, and he's got a couple movies in pre-production for 2018 called, well, one of them's The Gospel Truth, and the other one is called Anna Lucasta, and someone says this is heaven, and Larry says if this is heaven, I better be making more than $4.25 an hour. Papa Mia is stiffing people.
I guess that's minimum wage for that time. I looked that up.
That's crazy. Yeah, and then we get Leno. Jay Leno is probably best known for his role in the film Collision Course, I'd say,
which is a movie we love.
Yeah, I was like, so when Leno pops up, I was thinking like, oh, this is cool. Like, I bet Leno doesn't. He probably wasn't in a lot of TV shows. He's in 90s. He has 97 credits.
He's exclusively in TV shows.
Well, I mean, like, yeah, but I was like thinking, like, you know, playing himself, like, in a fictitious universe. But yeah, man, he did it all the time in the 90s. So it really isn't that special. But I was pretty excited when he popped up. So yeah, Jay Leno, best known for, you know, The Tonight Show, which ran from 1992 to like 2010, and then you know, they gave Conan a couple months. And they kicked him out, and then he came back for another 4 years. But, you know, I'm not a big Leno fan on The Tonight Show, but I was real hyped to have him pop up in this. And, yeah, it's just kind of strange. His lines feel improvised, or, like, it feels like he's just kind of doing whatever he wants because it doesn't make a lot of sense. And I think you kind of I'll tell you what's missing from this scene is the studio audience. Like, there's no laughing,
yeah.
So it's kind of awkward, like, Jay Leno is doing supposedly funny things, or like Tim and Brad.
He makes that like eating, drinking, or drooling joke. Like,
but there's no audience there to laugh, so it just kind of falls flat, especially because we're so used to it.
So people actually react like how they should, because it's not funny.
I mean, it's funny because it's Jay Leno. But yeah, he's it's exceptional. So Papa Mia comes out. You know, they try to appeal to him.
A deal is a deal.
With the Brad sadness. But, you know, Papa Mia's got his own story, and it's sad. And essentially, his father sold a hot rod and gave him the money to start his business. And his father saw the show and liked the hot rod, and now he wants to buy it back and give it to him as a thank you for kind of helping him start this empire. So, you know, I appreciated this episode because they didn't just have him give the hot rod back, because that's usually the kind of thing that happens on sitcoms. It's also too easy. Yeah, like, that wouldn't happen if you know, if there's been a transaction. But fear not, the scene ends. Brad notices a kind of junky-looking car near the back that I think is a 46 Ford convertible. It needs a lot of work.
You can tell by looking at it, usually.
Yeah, I mean, usually I couldn't tell if it was a 46 or a 48, but...
The weird thing is that, like, people can do that. Like, my dad can do that. He can tell a year of a car by looking at it, and I just don't understand
it. I have no idea. I wouldn't... Yeah, obviously.
I can maybe tell you what decade it's from. Maybe.
Yeah, well, that'd be a fun test. We'll try that out sometime. But basically, they have their new project car, and O'Brien's going to give them a real good deal. And they're really excited. And then Leno comes up and he's like, and you know, he comes up and just kind of saunters over and he's kind of like, you know,
that's the one I would have picked.
If I had my choice of a car, I'd have picked that one too. Real smart. And then he just kind of like taps his forehead. It's great.
Yeah, I wrote like Leno comes over and then parentheses, I wrote why.
Leno comes over to remind you that Jay Leno's in this scene and and this is his garage. Real smart choice, you guys. You hear about Michael Jackson in the news?
I was wondering when the Leno impression would come out.
Yeah.
The fact that you waited about 35 minutes
restraint.
A testament.
Yeah, yeah.
Discipline.
You hear about this guy from New Jersey? All right, so final scene. Randy and Mark are again watching National Geographic.
This time it's the sexual reproduction of buffalo.
This time it's even dumber. Jill, I mean, we didn't really see this, but Jill, she learns the error of her ways. She gives Randy a gift certificate. But the show, like, deviates too far in the opposite direction because, like, now instead of, like, she's like, go, next time you need a pair of pants, just go get them yourself.
He's going to just walk down to this mall. Remember, like, the mall is right there.
I know, but, like. So, like, you know, she obviously can't open the dressing room when he's in there changing, but then she goes so far in the opposite direction. Like, you still got to give him a ride and stuff. I don't know. This show. Weird relationship with kids. You know, Randy, nope. Brad and Tim bring the hot rod home, unveil it. You know.
It died on the way.
It died on the way, and it looks old, and there's some jokes.
I did not remember that in the 90s you got paper certificates instead of, like, a plastic card for a gift card.
Yeah, it's like, it was just like a sheet of paper. I remember getting that. Roll credits fade to black. Brother, can you spare a hot rod, a.k.a.
Seller
Papa Mia, that's a spicy hot rod.
Are you sure you can't give me that hot rod back?
Are you? Yeah. Are you talking YouTube to me? Jordan, highs and lows.
I don't really like this episode. I guess the highs for me, I guess the realism of, like, Randy getting embarrassed, like, that feels like a real thing that would happen. It's not a strong B plot, like you said, but it seemed realistic. And the surprise Leno appearance, like, I was not prepared for that. So I did enjoy that, although his lines were not particularly good.
Well, I think he came up with them himself. I don't think they wrote lines for Jalen. I think he was just kind of like, yeah, I'll just sort of come out.
I guess his, like, appearance wasn't particularly good. But his cars were cool.
Disagree.
Lowe's, I just don't actually believe that Tim would do this. I don't believe that he would have sold that hot rod. So I don't, like, the premise of the episode doesn't seem believable to me. Way too many pizza jokes, and now we're faced with, like, the fact that we're going to have to deal with the whole new car renovation storyline, and how long are we going to deal with that? So.
The next episode's going to be titled Hot Rod: A New Beginning.
I mean, it's a novel concept, I guess, but I just didn't really like it, okay. So...
Yeah, I mean, I actually like this one. I don't know. Right. I enjoyed it. What did I like about it, though?
You just liked it because Leno was in it. You didn't care what he did.
I did. I mean, that was a let's just say if Leno doesn't show up, it's a different rating for me, probably. No, I mean, I thought it was funny. I thought there was a lot of good lines. I liked the pizza jokes. I thought that was like a funny reoccurring bit. It's mostly tied to Leno showing up. It's just like such a bizarre kind of scene that they filmed in his garage, like probably in about 15 minutes, and it's sort of awkward, but like, I don't know. It's just cool to have, people like Jay Leno popping up, sort of playing themselves. And as like bad as his lines were and sort of awkward as his appearance was, I was just so happy to have him there. And I think that it's an interesting idea for a plot. I guess I kind of do buy Tim doing that only because, and I think this show kind of justifies it well enough. Like, he doesn't really care. I mean, he cares about the hot rod in terms of showing it off and stuff, but he really just likes the building. So like, if someone's going to pay you a big chunk of change for something and you can kind of use that to start a new project, I guess I kind of accept that. I did not like the Randy pants subplot, but I don't know. I liked this episode. I thought it was fun. It was funny. I enjoyed it.
All right. Well, diverse opinions here on Home and Podcast, which is not a bad thing. So I guess we should move on to social media.
We have to.
You want to dwell more about Randy's pants?
No. Where does Jay Leno rank in terms of guest appearances? I'd say he's right up there with Isaiah and Jimmy Carter.
No way.
Really?
No. Why? He doesn't do anything funny.
Just him being there is funny.
Oh, jeez.
I mean, Isaiah doesn't do anything funny.
Yeah, he has that great line about corn. Give me a break.
I will give you a break.
You just got fuzzy feelings from Collision Course.
Yeah, well, we should talk about Collision Course briefly.
We should definitely do a spinoff like covering Collision Course.
Yeah, Collision Course. I mean, we should do a Last Man Standing episode before we do Collision Course. Collision Course is a movie that we watched in high school.
We like to rent bad movies, right?
Yeah, we did? That makes us pretty unique because not a lot of people do that. It's not a popular thing. Guilty pleasure movie. Collision Course, he plays Detective Tony Costas. It's filmed in, it takes place in Detroit, and it's from 1989. It has him and the actor that played Mr. Miyagi, whose name is, I believe, is it Pat Morita? Yeah, Pat Morita, Jay Leno, and then a bunch of, other 80s guys, and, I don't remember a lot about that movie other than there's a really bad scene where, like, I think Pat Morita, like, runs and jumps through the windshield of a car. Do you remember that?
That sounds familiar. Yeah, I don't remember a lot. I just remember it being, like, Rush Hour before Rush Hour was Rush
Hour. It is Rush Hour-esque. Oh, I wish I could find the tagline. Because it's, like... here's the taglines. Let's see. not so much... All right, I'm just going to read these. This is not what I was thinking it would be, but... Oh, here it is. Okay. Tagline for Collision Course. The only thing stopping these two cops from solving the crime of the century is each other.
Oh, what a good one.
Not so much a lethal weapon, more of a liability.
Well, you can't use another movie in there, can you?
This is the worst one. This is barely a tagline. With two cops like this, someone's going to die laughing. There's not missing a comma. Also, Pat Morita's not funny.
No, he doesn't have any, like,
no. Remember, comedy isn't bones. There a scene where they get drunk in a bathtub or something? We gotta watch this again.
Yeah, I mean, it's been too long for me to remember.
I might be mixing that up with a different movie, but...
I don't know. All right. I know is it was a fun romp.
Fun romp. About as fun as having Jay Leno in this Home Improvement romp. Jordan, let's talk social media.
All right, we're gonna go to Sean's social media corner. If you want to reach out to us, go to thehomeandpodcast.com. We're on Facebook at facebook.com/homeandpodcast. Our Twitter handle is @homeandpodcast. If you'd like to support the show, like a few other generous people, you can get access to our behind-the-scenes outtakes and certain things like that. And you can go to patreon.com/homeandpodcast. We do have a new Patreon patron, I guess is the word.
Wow, I didn't know that.
Since last time, I believe.
Who is it?
And they also, I mean, the biggest reason you should donate to Patreon is that you can get access to the full script of Adam's Home Improvement reboot.
Yeah, I mean, the reboot's not happening, so that script becomes even more important because...
Yeah, it's basically gold.
So they went out there. So did you say who our new Patreon
Did I? No, okay. I'm going
should,
to right
should
now.
Should you? Okay.
Should I? Can
yeah.
I?
Yeah.
Will I?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, I think you better say it.
It is Matthew...
Mm-hmm.
Matthew Wood.
Oh, thanks, Matt. We appreciate your donation. And Jordan, thanks for getting that name pulled up so quickly.
Yeah, things happen fast on the internet. Matt, if you want to tell everyone how that awesome script is, yeah, definitely tweet at us. So
do it.
Or you can, you know, go on iTunes and leave a review there.
That'd
so
cool.
that helps.
Cool.
That helps people find us. Adam, before I ask you about Twitter, I've got a couple of things to share.
Oh, great.
So, Sarah, one of our prolific listeners, and she's got a couple of remarks on Facebook that helps bring a little bit of clarity.
What a surprise.
We talked about the montage. You remember that awesome montage in the Root of All Evil?
How could I forget?
She did remind us that the last montage in the series was Eve of Construction. If you recall, they were making all those houses.
Oh, yeah, that's a good pull, yeah.
So, thank you for setting
this one was
straight.
Way better.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there wasn't R&B like the other one.
That's true.
Sarah also did have some bad news for you.
You talked
about how, for Christmas episodes, you prefer them to be a little bit more Christmassy.
Yeah.
She said, you're not going to like season 5 or 6. They're the worse than this Christmas episode, in her opinion. So,
yikes.
Something to not look forward to.
Well... yeah, I mean, that kind of ties into a poll.
Let's talk about it.
Facebook?
Yeah, for now.
Okay, we'll come back later. Alright, so we've been recording these and kind of saving them up, so social media updates are a little bit wonky, but two polls to share. So on May 2nd, poll was, what does Home Improvement do better? 18 total votes. 28% said Christmas, 72% said Halloween. You agree with that?
Yeah.
I do too, yeah.
Yeah, kind of dry on that one.
I would say so. Other poll from May 9th. How old were you when you got your first job? 17 total votes. So 6% were between 13 and 14. 11% were older than 18. 18% were 17 to 18. And 65%, the majority, were between 15 and 16 years old. So interesting.
I'm surprised no one put, like, I've never gotten a job.
Yeah, I listen to this podcast all day. I don't work. Homie. Otherwise, yeah, I did post a short video in reference to last week's episode where you had mentioned that the woman checked her watch when Heidi asked.
Boy, that blew up.
Yeah, 97 total views. So
it was like
you
a P.F. Tompkins gate.
Tell you what. Also, I posted a really funny picture of a sign from Target that said Home Improvement, and I was like, yeah, got it.
That was hilarious. I almost thought it was going to be a Meijer.
No, man. I had to get some new duds. Me and Randy both needed new clothes, so.
Was your mom there?
No. I wish. Maybe she would have paid for it. That'd been nice.
Yeah. She's got good advice, too, so.
Yeah, definitely. That's it for Twitter, though. Yeah, follow us, tweet at us, vote in the polls, et cetera, et cetera. Doing big things on Twitter.
Yeah, I should say, you know, was the last time we checked for reviews, did we have 22? Is that correct?
Yes.
We now have 23.
Whoa. Okay. All right.
So we better, before we move on,
I'm nervous.
Check this out.
I'm nervous.
Yeah, I mean, it looks like we still have 5 stars, but
okay. We'll
see here. So yeah. I'm opening it up right now.
Okay.
And I'll let you know in
Please
a minute
do.
Here. All right, so we do have a new review here. So it is titled Montage, so it seems very specific to a certain thing we said. And it is 4 out of 5 stars. You know, better than nothing, I guess, right?
Barely. Keep going.
So this is by what I'm going to call Slow TV 1994.
Yeah.
Because it's SLO TV. And it says, referring to the Route of All Evil podcast, they also did a montage during the music of the Wedding Vacation episode, Tim Taylor being Al's landlord episode, as well as I think one of the Halloween episodes when they show how they set up the prank. So, montages to come, it sounds like, but not as much as episodes that we've covered.
Hey, look, I mean, I don't give a what you say. But if you're going to leave us 4 stars, maybe talk up, you know, maybe talk about the show specifically rather than, you know, that seems more like a tweet than an iTunes review, but sure, I guess.
But we're happy to have another review.
Yeah, I just wish it was 5 stars or, you know, more relating to something about our show than speculation. But, you know, you win some, you lose some. If you want to leave a 5-star review and talk about the show that we do and put on rather than specifics, go ahead and do so. That does help people find us.
Maybe that's why he only gave us 4 stars, because we didn't mention those other montages.
Yeah, I mean...
we should say that like we don't like really remember what happens
also,
in the series.
Also, we haven't covered those episodes yet, so, like, you know.
It's one of the reasons why you were so delighted to see Jay Leno on this episode. Because we just don't remember.
We don't know what's going to come. So if you want to knock us down for that, then you can do so. But we're going to get right back up. So
so thanks, Slow TV.
No, don't thank him. No, nope.
One of us is a little bit more generous than the other, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, Jordan, question of the week time?
Yeah, it's your turn.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Oh, no. All right. Jordan, this episode features Jay Leno in just a hilarious and mind-bending role. And Jay Leno hosted the Tonight Show. So I want to talk about the current, late-night talk show landscape. You know, you got Colbert, you got Fallon, you got Kimmel, you got James Corden. Heck, you even got Carson Daly, I think, if you stay up late enough.
Do we count Conan on TBS?
We can count Conan as well, yeah. So, who do you like? What do you watch?
You know, I don't really watch any of them currently. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, sometimes I'll watch YouTube clips of certain people. Mm-hmm. But I've always been a big Conan fan. He's kind of quirky and zany and kind of my kind of humor. I like his Clueless Gamer series, among other things.
We also we saw Conan in person.
We did see Conan live at Michigan State one time, which
was after Leno kicked him off the Tonight. Yeah, Leno kicked him off the Tonight Show, and then he went on a tour.
He had that like 1 year where he couldn't be on TV or whatever.
But
he got
paid like $50 million, so I think, you know, everything worked out for him.
Yeah, now he's got a show on TBS, and he's still doing big things. But yeah, I'm a big fan of his. I do like some of the stuff Jimmy Fallon does. Like, I like the games that he plays with some guests and such. But yeah, I don't really watch any of them. I know it seems like a lot of them are getting pretty political, which...
Well, it's hard not to these days, right?
Yeah, some people like, some people don't like. I don't really spend a lot of time watching them, but... I used to watch Conan, like, almost every night.
Really?
For a long time.
You know
time.
Conan switching to a half hour?
Is he really?
Yeah.
Yeah. Hmm, I wonder why that is.
I could speculate, but...
People don't like... People get...
I mean, good for Conan that he's working, but being on TBS is...
It's hard.
It's hard, yeah. It's hard.
There's also so much programming now, but they keep cutting Conan down, and I'm not for that.
No. Team Coco. Okay.
Who's your favorite? Who do you like? Who do you not like?
I mean, I do like Conan. I don't think his TBS show is nearly as good as what he was doing on network, but maybe that's not his fault. I would say, I don't really watch any of the shows, just, yeah, like clips and such, but probably Kimmel is my favorite. I just like, I think, and that's mostly because of other things he does. Like, I like him on the Oscars. He comes on the Bill Simmons podcast a fair amount. I think he seems like a well-grounded guy, and I think he's quite funny and just kind of a good host and entertainer. I don't like Fallon, but I don't think that is... I feel like a lot of people feel that way. And Colbert has just always been too political for me.
They all kind of have their own bent, don't they?
Yeah, but yeah, for me, it's Kimmel and... Conan as well. So
yeah, he's funny. I do like when he hosts the Oscars. He's a funny dude.
Yeah. Jordan, what do we cover next week? Next week, I mean, you know, later today when we record two in the same day again.
Yeah, we're gonna have a fever.
Yep.
Okay. And the only prescription for this is the Super Bowl. Super Bowl fever.
Wow. And we've already watched this, so we know what's to come, and you know, you're in for a treat.
Yeah,
if you thought Jay Leno was exciting, wait till you see the next one.
Oh, man. So, yeah, looking forward to that.
Yeah, definitely. Jordan, thank you for joining me. Listeners, thank you for listening. And I guess I should say take care.
Take care, everybody.